a bill was being due. Due, right? You know, like past due, colorful, you know, mail comes to your house. Where nowadays you can have everything paperless and it comes to your email with an urgent on it. But Lord, you know I need this bill paid and I don't know how it's going to be done. I don't know how we're ever going to get to that point, God, because you know what comes in and what goes out, and there's more going out than what's coming in. But then you either get a at the door and the Lord says to give you this. And it's the amount that you needed. Have you experienced that? Yeah. Raise your hand. Show everybody. Raise your hand. I've experienced it. He says, you're in need of this? Your church isn't your source, Marty. I'm your source. It helps some of you. It helps some of you. We already look at pastors and mega churches and, oh, they're blessed. You don't know the bills they got to pay to make you comfortable. All these nice instruments and they have big old HD screens everywhere. It's not free. And they have needs, right? But even God told me, he says, when I get you to a certain place, who's your source? Don't look at your church as your source. I'm your source. Okay, God, but I thought I was doing that. He says, no, the moment you start worrying, you disconnect from the source. How many of you began to worry about some things? That was me. Worried and then worried again and worried some more. He says, oh, you have little faith. No, God, I got faith. He goes, yeah, little. God talked to you like that? Oh, he's raw. He is raw. He says, son, you just kind of claim all kinds of things and then you're the first one to start complaining. Look, I promise to have you out of here. Y'all weren't supposed to catch that one. You just weren't supposed to catch that. All right, look. I'm going to preach to you. Are you connected to the source? Are you connected to the source? Now, we all know that there's outlets all over the place in your house, and there's outlets. You know, nowadays you have outlets inside your car. Everything, you get, stay connected. Stay connected. Now they're bringing the internet into the car. Oh, yeah, new cars are coming out with internet capability in your actual car. Lord Jesus, help us. Uh-huh. Oh, let's see who texted me. And then we're so worried about being distracted, we just add more distractions. I said, Lord, I know I'm connected to the source. He says, but you got to plug in. You got to plug in. I mean, you know, if I bring a vacuum cleaner out here, vacuum cleaner look nice and pretty and everything, you know. Vacuum cleaners makes children like it's the devil and they don't want to look at the vacuum. How many of you told your children to vacuum the room and it takes a week for them to get vacuum? Did you vacuum? I'm about to. You know, I said that back in 2013. You still ain't done it. It's like something they don't want to even plug that thing in. Lord, some, he says, if you stay connected to the source, I'm going to show you in Scripture why it's important to stay connected to the source. If you're going to the YouVersion, the live event, it's under, are you connected to the source? And there you have all the Scriptures, and there's a lot of Scripture for you to, as reference for yourself. I'm going to go through it, get you out of here pretty quick, because I know you have ham, and I know you got potato salad, and I know you've got some, you know, those rolls, and then you may, see, if you're barbecuing like most of us do, you put ribs on there, and they got that thing slow and low, because you got to go to church, and then by the time you come out, you can't even flip the ribs, because it's already falling off the bone, so the only thing you got left to do is just put the barbecue sauce all over it, and just hope that it'll be all right, because when you go in, am I making you hungry? I haven't eaten for 2 days. You're going to be hungry. Have you ever had those ribs and you pick it up and the whole bone? Just like that. And then the barbecue sauce starts to just kind of drip down a little bit. And we do like we don't. Forget all kinds. Oh, and if you got a beard, it's right there. You just save it for later. So it's good. Don't be looking at me like that. Y'all are son. Because when you eating and it's good, it's good. Some of y'all dance to food like me. Ask my wife. If it's good, you know I like it. You know I like it because I start dancing. I start dancing when I get my food. Ooh. I felt the Holy Ghost with that one. Did you feel that? My kids laugh at me like, again, you don't know what I just had. I had an encounter. If Jesus liked to eat food, don't you like to eat food? What you like, man? You like the big old juicy burger? What did it tell me? That's it, man. Now, if you really know how to do, I'm going to get to my message. Hold on. It's Easter. Y'all all thinking about what we're going to go eat afterwards, you know. And if you're going to a restaurant, you're going to be sitting waiting for a long time, but you won't get mad. You won't get mad because you're waiting. Then we just kind of get there a little bit, girl. Watch this. The real ribs, cook slow and low. Don't try to rush it because you're going to burn it. You like eating burnt ribs? No, no, it gets chewy and it's hard. You're pulling on it and pulling. I don't want to fight with my food. It's supposed to be dead. So why fight with it, right? I want to be able to pick that rig up and just, what's your name? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Come on now. You pick that rib up. It's a sacrifice that the Lord has made for me. You get real spiritual at that moment. And then you start to feel the goosebumps. Oh. Lord, I thank you. For the rib that you gave to me today. And I thank you, Lord, that it's a rack of ribs. Not just one, but you're a God of multiplication. That you'll multiply it and you'll give me even more and the more and the more. Because he's my source. And if you're like me, I can't have just rib. I got to have multiple meats. You better have that chicken on there and burn that skin real good. That when I lift that thing up, the bird is still like, whoo, whoo. You know it's something when the food starts singing praises unto the Lord. My son trying to get back on track, boy. Just making you hungry. Just making you hungry, that's all. Don't even get started on brisket now. Brisket, boy, take a long time. You can't rush brisket. Oh, let's just put it in the crock pot and put it on high. Good luck. Go try to make a taco out of that. It'd be all shredded. Mm-mm. Pastor, I like shredded meat. I like shredded. We's good stuff. If you're... God, let me have a moment there. He let me have it. He let me have it. Let me have it. He let me have it. He let me have it. He let me have it. All right, I want you to go to Genesis 1:1, please. If you're on the YouVersion, you'll see that it's already there for you. And if you follow down the YouVersion, if you don't have the app, it's on the YouVersion Live. All the scriptures on there that I'm going to discuss, I may not read it all to you, but you have reference to it. You can save it on your phone, your iPad, or your computer, and you can save it, and it'll always be there for a reference for you. I'm not afraid of technology. They call me Mr. Go-Go Gadget. If I have a gadget, I'm going to find out how to go and get it, and I'm going to find out how to use it. And there's times that I've gotten new things I don't know how to use, but you give me till midnight, I'm going to figure it out. Be coming to church the next day, my eyes are all red. What happened? I got a new gadget. Trying to figure it out. So I did this so that you could follow along. And, you know, many of us have electronic devices. Let's just make sure it's on vibrate. Okay? All of a sudden, I'll be preaching here, Holy Ghost fall, all of a sudden, ring. It happens. I know. Sometimes I even have mine on, right? And they're looking at me in the back. David's like, your phone. I don't know how to turn it on. So I start speaking louder so nobody hears it. In the beginning, there's a Bible called Genesis. The very beginning. Genesis 1:1. Can you read to me where it says the first sentence? Read it, please. Okay, who created? God. In the beginning was who? God. In the beginning, God. Did it say in the beginning, Sylvia? In the beginning, Daniel. He say in the beginning, a prophet. He say in the beginning, your problems. He say in the beginning, a situation. No, in the beginning, God. God is always at the very beginning of all things. This is going to help you. Even when you're going through, in the beginning of you going through, God. Now watch this. Now watch. You can follow along through that. Then in Genesis 1, 21 through 23, he creates the heavens and the earth, and he creates the birds, right? The birds, the fish, the fowl, everything. Creates everything. Creates all the seed-bearing trees and plants and everything for food for you, right? Food for the birds. In the beginning, who? God. So who's the source of everything? God. Okay, well, that's easy for us to understand. In the beginning, God. It's God. It's not in the beginning, religion. It's not in the beginning, religiosity. It's not in the beginning, tradition. It's in the beginning, God. The creator of heaven and earth and everything in it, everything above, and everything in the heavens. Correct? He created it. Here's what I want to share with you. If you go to Matthew 6:34, go to Matthew 6:34. Matthew 6:34, I'm going to read it out of the God's Word translation. It says, so don't ever worry about tomorrow. After all, tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, Jesus, you're preaching to me now. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Amen. There's somebody I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Don't worry about tomorrow. No. Don't worry about tomorrow. After all, so I said right here, right? After all, tomorrow will worry about itself. How is tomorrow going to worry about itself? When you get there, you're going to be there. Oh, I'm worried about today, not tomorrow. But yesterday was my tomorrow, but now it's today. So now I'm worried about it. And I can worry about today because yesterday was tomorrow, but now it's tomorrow is today. And now I can worry about it. What did you accomplish? Nothing. Now watch. And we have a tendency, and we all like Christians. We're Christians that know the word. Really, I mean, just we know the word. We know the word. Haven't you just know the word? But yet you fall prey to the circumstance? Yeah. It happens, right? It happens. I know the word of God, and the word of God says this, but your mind is over here, but you're speaking this, but your mind and your problems are over here, and you're speaking that. But I know the word of God. It don't match. It don't go together, because where I'm at right now, the word ain't, no. No. You been there? Yeah. Something like, Lord, I've been working real hard at this thing, and I've been, you know, I've been fasting, I've been praying, and I've been repenting for all things that I've done in the past, and I've forgiven everybody I need to forgive, and if there's anybody I don't know that I need to forgive, help me to remember so I can forgive them. Like, we go through a checklist, like he didn't do enough on the cross. Like, I think I offended brother so-and-so the other day when I didn't shake his hand. Let me go ask for forgiveness. See, we go through this thing, motion of trying to be a Christian. And he said, don't worry about that. I'm not saying that if you know you did something wrong, you shouldn't have to go and repent to God. I did something wrong, so you need to forgive me. And if you don't forgive me, it's okay, I forgive you. And then you get them mad. Haven't you done that? I forgive you, even though. And they're like, I didn't do nothing to you. What you talking? You tripping. I didn't do nothing. You're the one. You're the one come and say, forgive me. Asking for forgiveness. Then telling me that you forgive me. I didn't do nothing. All kind of offense. Why? Because we're just trying to make it right and try to live right. We mess up. Yeah. Every time you're trying to do good, your source is telling you, I'm your source. I'm your source. He says, and things ain't going to go your way even when you're trying to do good. Even when you're trying to do right. It don't go your way, but I'm the source. Because in the beginning, God. Just saying. Go to Genesis 1:24. Genesis 1:24 through 31. I'm just going to read this, not all of it, but just kind of share with you. This is Genesis 1, verse 24, out of the God's Words translation. It says, "Then God said, let the earth produce every type of living creature." Who said? God said. But what did he say? He said, let there, right? Let the, let there, let it be. Did God speak to anybody? Okay, just showing you. Every type of domestic animal, crawling animal, and wild animal. That means some of us. And so it was. Verse 25, God made every type of wild animal, us, and every type of domestic animal, us, and every type of creature that crawls on the ground, us. And God saw that they were good. Now watch this. Verse 26, I want you to see this. Then God said, let us. Only time in Scripture that God said, before he created the heavens and the earth, he would say let, and it was. But when it came to me and you, he looked to Jesus and the Spirit, the triune God, said, let us, your combined effort of the heavenly realm, to be created. Any other creation was not created by let us, just let. You're the only creation that said, let us make them in our image. That's the source. That's the source. Looking at people turning blue on their lips and everything. Let us make humans in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule the fish and the sea, the birds and the sky, the domestic animals of all the earth, and all the animals that crawl on the earth. Now, he just made the heavens. He just made the earth. He made all the trees, all the plants. He made the animals. Then he makes us. And then he says, let them have dominion over all of them. Again, the source. Here's the source. So God created humans in the image of God. He created them. He created them, male and female. God blessed them and said, be fertile, increase in number, fill the earth and be its master. Rule the fish, whether fried, baked in the sea, the birds, whether grilled or fried in the sky, and all the animals that crawl on the earth. God said, I have given you every plant with seeds on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seeds. This will be your food. Do you see that? This will be your food. I have given you all the green plants of food to every land animal, every bird in the sky, and every animal that crawls on the earth, every living, breathing animal. And so it was. What I want to draw your attention to, that he has given all kinds of resources to us, mankind, and he gave all resources to his creation. He is the source. But we begin to worry about what we shouldn't worry about. If we're connected to the source, he's going to take care of us. Now, how many of you read in there that he talked about the birds quite often? Right? Did he not? The birds? The birds. The birds sing every morning. You know how I know to get up? The birds. That's early. It's still dark out. And I begin to hear the birds start to sing. They wake up praising God. So then he gives references to the birds that he created. Why? Because they praise him continually. And if they don't have no food to eat, watch this. He'll make you just that stale bread that you have in the pantry. You know the one with the green stuff all over it. You know you do. You know, because you don't go to the pantry. It was hidden right back in the corner because the kids had some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something. And they just stuffed it in the corner. You didn't catch it. You didn't see it was there. So you get that bread. You throw it outside. Guess what? He fed the birds. In the beginning, God. Or you know how we do. Because our backyard has to be pristine. It has to look good, manicured, the lawn nice and pretty. And then just something tells you, let's just put a bird feeder there. How is it that the birds know to go there? They can smell their resource. That they show up. And when they show up, all the bird seeds that you give them, I guarantee you'll be gone. But not only the birds show up. Squirrels. What you say? Have you seen squirrels? Squirrels are smart. I had this one bird feeder on the tree. And I would sit there and watch the bird. Oh, man, the bird's so pretty, so cute. I just think, little bird, sweet. Oh, this is so cute. And I watched this squirrel jump from tree to tree. And then I see that squirrel reach down and start picking up the bird feeder and dropping it so that the seeds will fall out. And then that, and I got two little dogs, and they think they're like Rottweilers. They ain't nothing but little wiener dogs. They start chasing after squirrel. Squirrel just looked at them like, and keep eating.
They got scared.
They go full speed. Hum, hum. And the squirrel looked at him. This ain't happening. There's something wrong with that squirrel. Yeah, he's connected to the source. He's eating real good. And my dogs are looking like this. Wait a minute. Have you ever thought about what the animals are thinking?
Yeah.
I think it's just me. But I wonder what my dogs are saying right now. Feed me. Oh, yeah. We're going to feed you. But if the squirrel knows how to go and go get the seeds, that it was bird seed. It didn't say squirrel seed. Bird seeds. Who provided? God. In the beginning, God. Okay, now he talks about the birds, talks about the animals, and then he's talking about us. Well, Pastor, this is no Easter message. Y'all are thinking it. I'm just going to say it. Bonnie, I'm just being real. I'm going to have some fun today. Y'all's ribs will taste better after a few minutes, so just hold on a little bit. So what I want to share with you is this. Give me some liberty, that's all. In Genesis 1:24-28, God created everything. He created man. And then you read on in Genesis, the beginning, after he creates Adam and Eve, all he wanted to do was commune with Adam, his creation. He gave everything to Adam that he needed. All the fruit, those bananas you like, they're right there, mijo. Go get it. You don't like bananas? There's cherries today if you want to go get some cherries. You no cherry? You want peaches? Go get the peaches. You don't like peaches either? You want strawberry? Go get the strawberry, mijo. No, but I really want something that's really good for me. I want some of that coconut water because it'll hydrate me real good. Well, I made you the palm trees too. Go get it. Anything you wanted. He gave everything that we needed. Everything. But we go through some stuff. We get tempted of things. And we fall. That's when Adam disconnected from the source. Disconnected from the source. When you disconnect from the source, this is what happened to Adam. He kicked him out of the garden, did he not? When he was connected to the source, doing what the source said to do, he was in the garden. He didn't have to do nothing. He didn't have to even go and get a rake and rake the leaves. Like most kids, they don't like doing either. You know? Rake the leaves. What? I thought you were going to hire the gardener. You like to rake leaves? So you didn't have to do nothing. You just show up. I'm hungry. Eat it. Then because he got separated from the source, he listened to a voice that he shouldn't have been listening to. There was a disconnect from the source. Who's your source? God is your source. How many have ever felt that we've been disconnected from God because of sin? Mm-hmm. Here's a question that's on the YouVersion app. Can your sin disconnect you from God?
No.
No, we say it real quick. No, I know I'm in church. No. No. Which? Can it? Right? Because we're unsure. No. Then what you're saying is that he didn't pay it on the cross. What you're saying is that every sin that you commit, because we're still sinners, we create sin and we do things, we mess up. That you're saying that that disconnects me from God. When you read in the Bible, it says that sin separated man from God. That was pre-Jesus' cross.
Amen.
Jesus came to the cross. He says, this thing ain't going to hold me. It's only temporary. Now, let me get in there a little bit with the whole Jesus thing. Since it is church and it's Easter, y'all want to hear Jesus. I want to talk Jesus for you for a minute. Okay, just Jesus, because I think it's the right place here, right, in church. We should talk about Jesus. We should, right, because it's church.
Yeah.
It's Easter. Let's talk about Jesus. Not the bunny. Not the Easter bunny. Okay. Peter Cottontail? Okay. Watch this. Did Jesus ever feel like he was separated from God? Y'all see, same thing. Y'all did it again. No? Yeah. Yeah, he felt separated from God when he's on the cross and taking the whole cup of the world, the sin, that he's alone for the very first time that he says, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? But when, oh, Karabasa, whoo, he hasn't. This is only temporary. It's only for a moment. Amen. And he's coming off of the throne to do what he has to do for you. Amen. This is only temporary. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release that very word right now for manifestation now. It's a lying spirit that has come in. It's been lying. You even feel to the point that it's witchcraft. And I bind that very spirit right now in Jesus' mighty name. But God, I give you glory and honor, Lord, that you are on the throne, God. You are on the throne right now, interceding on her behalf and her family's behalf. And you're about to step in, Father, and turn that circumstance around because you are in the beginning, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Some of y'all listening on the podcast, what's going on? Get to church, you'll find out. Jesus is on the cross, and sin separated him even from his own Father. But for a moment, can you imagine Jesus being in, he says, all through Scripture, he says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. You have been with me so many years, but yet you still do not perceive that I am God. And if you believe in me, whew, you will have eternal life. Amen. And he's speaking to his disciples, telling them and showing them, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. But can sin separate you now from the Father, your source? Never. Never. Don't let no religious spirit come in and say your sin is what's causing all this in your life. That's a bunch of hell speaking to you. Jesus made it a point to make sure he let the people know nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So that when you worry about anything, watch this. He talks about the birds again. The birds, they can't praise like you praise. They can't do the will of God like you can. They can't do the miracles like you can. They can't go and pray for the sick and heal the sick like you can. They can't raise the dead like you can. But yet I still provide for them. The birds show up again from Genesis. They show up in the New Testament. Why? How many of you seen birds ferocious? You ain't seen no sparrow be real ferocious. Matter of fact, those sparrows just, you open the door, they're gone. They're spooky. God says, you're even greater than them. But you worry about the things you shouldn't worry about. Don't disconnect from the source. Don't disconnect. Now, what I want you to do is I'm going to share with you how Jesus begins to teach them a very interesting and very powerful story. It's in Luke 15:11-32. It's called the prodigal son. Y'all know the story? Oh, yeah. Everybody preaches on the prodigal son. Luke 15:11-32. I'm going to read portions of it out of the New King James Version. Oh, watch this. Verse 11 out of Luke 15 says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. How many of you know just right there that sometimes when you want to do bad, you want to go and hide? Look, I can't act a fool here in San Antonio, Bonnie, because people know me. Let me just go down to, let's just say, Corpus and act a fool. There ain't nobody know me there. God knows you. I don't care where you think you're going to hide. He knows you. But watch this. He had two sons. The one that asked for his portion. Give me my portion. Give me my stuff. I want it now, like most Christians do right now. Give me my stuff now. I want it now. Right? And we do that. I want my stuff right now, not later. Now.
Right now.
Now. What's the motive behind your now? Ooh. So now the younger takes off to go and start living this unrighteous living and starts living with all the, well, you know. You said it for me, girl. I so appreciate you. He went out to be with the hoochies. Read your word. You don't say hoochie in there. We say hoochie, but he went and spent his money on women, booze. He just had himself a good old time out there, like most of us did before we came to church. Not I don't mean like yesterday or today. I mean, that's not what I meant. Just saying before we finally got saved. Okay. So we carry on, have a good old time, and then we get to church and... I'm praying for you. You know how we do? We just have all those kind of antics when we get to church. We Lord, woke me up praying for you. Praying for you. Been fasting for you too. Been fasting for you. But didn't I just see you the other day? Yeah, I saw you. I was at Oyster Bake. I saw you. You had all those cups. They were your friends, right? They weren't yours. You were just holding it for them? Okay. But you were praying for me. Got you. Okay. Just hey. We say all these things like nobody's watching. God watches. Watch this, but watch this. Watch what he says. Who's watching? The brother. The older brother goes with him. The older brother goes with him and watch him. You don't say that the older brother did anything wrong, right? No? You don't say anything he did wrong. It's a story about the prodigal son. That's what it's about. It's not about the prodigal brothers. The son. But how was it that the older left too? The older one left, but we don't read about how the older one is the prodigal. We read about the younger one. You understand tradition? The tradition is the older son had to be wise, because the training of the father spent time with the older to teach. That the younger watched the older to learn from the older. So it wasn't no surprise that the younger said, give me all of my inheritance now. And when you read on in the story, and I'll paraphrase it so we don't go too long on this because I want to get to a certain point here. That when he goes out there in the world, this is a Jewish boy. It's a Jewish family. No one wants to hire him, so the only job he gets is to do what? Gives food to the pigs. If you know Jewish tradition, you can't be around the pigs. Ooh, get disconnected to the source and do some things you're not supposed to be doing. Get disconnected from the source, you'll take anything, even though it's not good for you. Matter of fact, he couldn't even get food no more. They wouldn't give him food. So the Bible says that he began to eat of the food of the pigs. Disconnect from the source, and you start taking matters into your own hands.
That's right.
Someone needs to hear this. Someone needs to hear this. I know I just finished preaching a series about your house shall be saved. He didn't say how they're going to be saved. Amen. The only reason why I got saved is because she let me go. Yep. Mama put me on the altar. She says, you're God's. Okay, I got this thing. I'm young. I know what I'm doing. I can handle this. I give you to God. I don't know how to take that, Mom. I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse. But since I know everything, okay. God got me. Wound up in the pig pen myself. Mm-hmm. I disconnected from the source. Not Mama's source, but God's source. Because when I was connected to Mama, Mama was connected to the source to make sure I went to church.
Hallelujah.
I don't think we're going to have a balcony in our new church, babe. Too many people go up there and fall asleep. I know this firsthand. But when she put me on the altar, oh, I got saved, all right. Once I realized I was in a pig's pen, going through what I was going through, that something happened to me. I came to my senses, just like the prodigal son. He came to his senses, and this is what it says in the story, is that he thought, man, when I was back at home, shoot, I had my iPad, my iPod. I had my own room. I had my own TV, PlayStation, Xbox. Cereal, if I wanted it morning, noon, and night, I had it. If I wanted an egg sandwich, my egg sandwich is there. If I wanted a barbecue, I could barbecue right outside. Daddy had lots of calves, and we would fatten them up so we could eat good. And here I am in a pig's pen, and I'm not even supposed to be around pigs. It's against my tradition, my religion. Sometimes you got to go down in order to know where you're at. No one escapes that. Nobody. But what Jesus says in this very story is what's beautiful to me. You have to understand the story. I said, well, Pastor, I know the story. It's the prodigal son. Watch what happens. The son comes back. The son comes back. Came to his senses, right? Now remember, Jesus is telling this story. Jesus is. What is he saying in reality? He's giving a description of our God. Watch. Now the father sees the son from afar. What does the scripture say? That the father ran to the son. Which son? The lost son. The father ran. Tradition, it was disrespectful to make the father run after the son. Don't miss that. Tradition would say that the man of the house, the father, is to wait. But in this story, Jesus says, God don't wait. He runs after those that have been lost. He runs after them in celebration. Now, we know the story when the son gets there. He says, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against you and heaven. And heaven. Jesus telling this account of the story now, right? He's going to. Now, why would he say that he sinned against the Father and heaven? Because he's telling the people in this very story is that this is what heaven's like. Your daddy's going to run to you. And he's going to embrace you before you even get back home. Hear me. Before you even get back home, he's going to run to you, right, and meet you on your journey back. And he's going to embrace you, not waiting for you to get cleaned up. He's going to just love on you right there in the middle of your journey coming back. He hadn't even made it all the way back yet. He just thought about going back. And he began to move because he took a step forward. How do you know? I mean, every time you make a good choice to do something good, you know that walk that's taking you straight back to where you need to be is the hardest walk that you've ever walked in your life. But you start, and then the father sees him and says, oh, that's my boy. That's my boy. I can tell by the way he walks. That's my son. Gets off the porch and runs after his son. Grabs a hold of him and kisses him and hugs him and loves him and says, oh, I'm so happy to hear. He calls now into his servants, bring me some shoes. Why the shoes? Only servants are barefooted. Sons have shoes. You're going to miss the revelation of that. That God will run to you even when you're still in the mess that you're in. And you still think you're just a servant. He'll bring you into sonship. And he'll say, give him his shoes. And then he says, bring him a robe. The finest robe. He haven't even made it back yet. Watch this. The servants had to run and bring this stuff to him. Why? Because he was so caught up in celebrating right there. That the servants began to even celebrate. Oh, oh, Jesus. He didn't make it home for the celebration yet. The celebration took place just because he started walking towards that direction. Amen. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Make a decision today to get back to the source, and he'll run to you. He'll clothe you. He'll give you shoes for your feet, and he'll give you the ring of authority on your very hand. They hadn't even made it back yet. He's talking to the servant. You know, the servant's going to say, I know that boy. I know that boy. Look at the mess he's been in. But the servant celebrated him coming back. What is he saying? Jesus was saying that your God in heaven celebrates you, but even the angels in heaven celebrate and rejoice when you come back home.
Hallelujah.
He began to just clothe them again with new things, even where he was at. God is just saying he's going to make a choice, and that choice is going to make God run to him. Go kill the fatted calf, because I knew he was coming soon. So I made that calf the one that I isolated. And I said, feed that one the double portion every day. Feed that one more. Feed that one more. Feed that one more. Because my son is coming home. I know he's coming home. How do I know that? Because not every calf can be fatted. You select which one needs to be fatted because you know a celebration is about to happen. God knew when he was coming. The Father knew, my son is coming home. I can feel it within me. And if any of you know your parents and you have children, you know I can feel my son. I can feel my daughter. I can feel they're going through. I can feel them. I can feel them. What's going on, God? I don't understand the circumstance. I can just feel them, and I'm going to begin to pray, God. But then it's something inside of you begins to shout. I know they're coming back. And God, I know you're going to meet them right on their journey. And you're going to make a way out of no way. Ain't nothing can keep them back from the source. You're in the beginning, God, but you're also in the end.
Lord, thank you, Lord.
Woo. You got to understand the tradition back then. They didn't waste for nothing. So when they killed the fatted calf, it wasn't just for the father to celebrate. It was for the servants. And they had to invite people to come celebrate with them, because nothing was wasted. That fatted calf made a meal for everybody. Everybody was going to celebrate. Everybody was going to rejoice, because someone made a choice. Someone made a choice. And when they made a choice, God said, prepare everything. Why did Jesus make it a point to tell this very story concerning a robe, sandals, and a ring? I'll read in the story of the Passion of Christ. This is Passion Week. That when Jesus began to get whooped by the cat of nine tails, they stripped the very flesh off his bones. Off of his bones. He went through the beatings. But those very lashes upon his back are the things that Jeremiah prophesied. That by the stripes upon his back, you are healed.
Amen.
But you don't understand that crucifixion wasn't even instituted at that time that prophecy was spoken. That Roman Empire didn't come up till later, thousands of years later, that this particular prophecy comes into fulfillment. So no one can ever tell me that Jesus isn't true. No one can ever tell me that the Bible isn't true. How is it that a prophet can prophesy about the crucifixion and the cross before it was ever utilized as crucifixion? He began to prophesy about what was about to take place. So that when they beat Jesus, what do you see? That they put a scarlet robe on him after the beatings. Jesus is talking to this very story. He says he's telling them what's about to take place with him. But he skips the details of his beatings. He skips the details about going to the cross and how they hung him. But before he gets to the cross, they gave him a ring too. A ring of thorns upon the very head of your precious Jesus. That ring and the scarlet robe. Say, Pastor, where's the shoes? Still on his children. Because where I go, it is holy ground. He went on that cross and he took those nails. But not one bone in his hand or his feet were ever broken. Because then it wouldn't have been a perfect, perfect lamb. When they pierced the side of the lamb, water and blood came out. That the very soldier that was also crucifying him felt compassion and knew that is the Son of God. But even that puncture didn't break anything. It only opened up the fountain of blood for you. It doesn't stop at the cross. Because after the cross, they put him in a borrowed tomb. Because he wasn't going to be there long. We've all heard preachers preach on that. He didn't even have to pay for it. Because it was borrowed just for a little bit. We'll give it right back. He'll go into a place of darkness for you. He'll go into a place in your life that there's no light. And you feel that there is no life. He'll get right in that very place just for you. And then when Jesus, on the third day, comes up out of that grave, that borrowed tomb, the Bible says that there was an earthquake, that the earth rumbled, that the angels rolled the stone away. And when the stone was rolled away, the angel was sitting right on the stone. The stones that have kept you from your promise are being rolled away. And the angel of the Lord is sitting on that very stone. Says, I am the resurrection and life, and I'm here to bring you life and bring it eternally. That when Mary and Martha came, Mary and Mary, they came. They went to go and see. They got startled by the angel that was standing there, not realizing it was Jesus himself. But the angels did speak and say, who you're looking for is not there, for he has risen just like he said he would be. He rose on the third day. So they go and run and tell the disciples. And guess who runs to the tomb? Peter. The only account that you read about is that Peter runs to go see, and he sees the linen strips that they used to use to wrap up. That the ephod is always used with linen. Linen represents the will of God. And the will of God was in the tomb. The will of God was in the tomb. But no longer there. Now the will of God is now in you. And Peter did not understand it. What happened? He came up. And he rose again. Just like he said. We don't stop at the cross. We look at the cross for what he did. But we look at an empty tomb that he's not there. And I know many people have different traditions concerning the crosses that they wear, or they see what they've grown up with, that Jesus is on the cross. He's no longer there. He's in you. He's running to you. If you ever felt like you got disconnected from the source, he runs to you to connect back to you. The mere fact that Jesus went to the grave is he reconnected his creation back to the Creator. At that very moment, that sin could not separate man from God anymore. For eternity. Everything that you have been through, God was there. Everything you're trying to process through, he's right there. He's doing a great work. And the work isn't finished. He finished on the cross, yes. But now he's working on his creation to renew the mind, renew the heart, and to show you there's a better way. And don't get it twisted. Now, he's not telling you to be all holy rollers. Don't do that. He came to abolish religion and to establish relationship. That's what he did. Well, Pastor, what about the commandments? He fulfilled them all. Every single one of them. Not the 10. All. Even the commandments that the people made up. He fulfilled every single one so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. If Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn it, he came to save it. He came to save every single one of you as long as you believe. Have you disconnected from the source by choice? Today's a good day to get connected. Get connected again. Get connected. I want you to just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Whatever sin that crept in, whatever sin that you were partaking in, whatever sin that you may have committed or thought of committing, is in the blood. And he paid the price for you. But the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy your faith, your hope, and your relationship with Jesus. But be of good cheer, for I, Jesus, have overcome the world. And I've overcome your circumstance. I am your source, because I was in the beginning. And I am now and forevermore in your circumstance. If you can honestly say within you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, every eye. Pastor's eyes are closed too. With an acknowledgement only to God, only to God. You could lift up your hand and say, I felt disconnected. Felt disconnected from my source. You can put your hands up. You can put your hands up. Right now, I believe that everybody in this very room, at some point in their walk with God, they have felt disconnected from the very source that created you. This is Resurrection Sunday, and I'm here to prophesy to you the prophetic word of God in that scripture is that everything that was in the tomb is coming out. Everything that is kept in darkness is coming out. Everything that was wrapped up in grave clothes is coming out. Everything that the enemy meant for evil is coming out and turning for your good. God is still at work on your behalf. And for everyone that spoke against you, lied about you, or talking about you, that has caused grief in your life, grief in your spirit, and even lost hope, I prophesy to you today, Resurrection Sunday is a day of new beginnings for you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and you shall be glad and rejoice in it. For God Almighty Himself has done away with sickness, hell, death, and the grave. Death, where is your sting? For this is the day that death died and eternal life has come forth. God, I just thank you right now for the liberty in the house, Father. I thank you that your people, Father God, walk in liberty, walk in wholeness, walk in healing. And Father, I thank you that breakthrough, 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 breakthrough is for your children. Just like the prodigal son, it's the story of the prodigal father. You run to us. You run to us. We just need to make a choice to come to you. If that is you in the spirit, I want you to come to the front and say, I'm making that choice right now. I want to be connected to the source again. Come to the front. If that's you, come to the front. You're good.